Is that right?
I hope.
Thank you, Mr. Shoemaker. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Sabbath Services. I'd like to also welcome those who are watching by webcast. And I want to start off with asking you a question. Have you ever just stopped and looked around, looked at the world around us? Have you ever just looked around you? Are people genuinely happy? You can tell. You know, I've noticed myself that there seems to be a lot of grumbling, griping. That's about everything. You know, we live in one of the most blessed and prosperous nations in the world. So, why are people so angry and ungrateful? One of the greatest sins is that of ingratitude. And although we observe Thanksgiving, millions still do not know what it means to be thankful. Brethren, we need to know how, we need to know when, and we need to know to whom to be thankful. So, in the time I have left this afternoon, I'm going to cover the topic of Thanksgiving. The topic of Thanksgiving and why we should be thankful. Why should we be thankful? You know, the Bible foretold that in the last days, men would be unthankful. We can see in 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 and 2. So if you'll turn to 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 and 2. 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 and 2. It says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful." So it's foretold. Human nature is unthankful. You know, we were born, and we all were. We were all born with selfish nature and full of greed. And notice what God says about our nature. James 4, verses 2 and 3. James 4, verses 2 and 3. James 4, verses 2 and 3 says, "You want something, but you don't get it. You kill and covet, but you can't have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your own pleasure." Notice, human nature is selfish, grasping, snatching, and devouring for self. With this nature, it's hard to be thankful. To be thankful, we must stop, look at, and appreciate what we have. But instead of appreciation, human nature constantly lusts for more. A mind filled with lust and desire to get is virtually incapable of gratitude. And the combined sins of lust, greed, and ingratitude are major factors bringing God's punishment on people. In Deuteronomy 28, verses 47 and 48. Deuteronomy 28, verses 47 and 48. God says, "Because you did not serve the Lord your God joyfully and gladly in the time of prosperity, therefore, in hunger and thirst, in nakedness, and dire poverty, you will serve the enemies of the Lord. you will serve the enemies the Lord sends against you. He will put an iron yoke on your neck until he has destroyed you. So are the people of Britain and America serving God with joyfulness and gladness of heart? You know, we're blessed with abundance of all things. But because of our ingratitude, our griping, grumbling, complaining ways, God will send us into captivity, minus our tremendous blessings. And God despises the sin of ingratitude. The world's education has jumped a track. Today's education can't cope with the immense problems of the world. Why such a lack of essential knowledge about life, health, and eternity? Well, it all started long ago. If we turn to Romans 1 and verse 21 and 22, Romans 1 verses 21 and 22, Romans 1 verse 21 and 22, God says of the philosophers and educators, verse 21 and 22, because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Notice it. They did not glorify God. They were not thankful. And what was the result? What was the result of this? They became vain in their own imaginations and their minds. Brethren, it takes humility to be thankful. Human nature, with its greed, selfishness, vanity, can't humble itself in thanksgiving to God. And so, exalting themselves, ancient philosophers and educators left the truth of God, changed it to a lie. They worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator. So, how many are thankful today? How many are thankful today? Well, we can see a story where Jesus healed many in his day. But how many of them ever thanked him? Well, just one story we're going to take a look at. Luke 17, verses 11 through 18. Luke 17, verses 11 through 18. Luke 17, verses 11 through 18. On his way to Jerusalem, Jesus passed through a certain village. 10 lepers met him there. Standing far off, they cried to him, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourselves unto the priests." And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face, and at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that returned to give glory to God, save the stranger." 1 in 10. That's the ratio. Well, maybe not that much today. Do 1 in 10 give thanks to God today? How many people take the time to thank God for his great blessings and his benefits? You know, many, many prayer requests for healing are asked each year. And I'm sure that hundreds of anointed cloths are sent out Many people are anointed personally by God's ministers. Many are healed. And how many give thanks for their healings? Have any of us ever received healings? Do we thank God for the healings? God commands thanksgiving. We see in Psalms 100, verse 4. Psalms 100, verse 4. It says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name." So we see, God commands us to be thankful and bless his name. Why? Well, God wants us to develop holy, righteous, perfect character in those who have voluntarily yielded their lives for him. Brethren, that's each and every one of us. Each and every one of us. And God knows human nature, and he knows that it's filled with vanity, selfishness, lust, and greed. He knows that of itself, human nature is not thankful. Therefore, to help us overcome this selfish nature, God has commanded us, and he has commanded that we be thankful. Thankfulness gets our minds off self, greed, lust, and vanity. Thankfulness acknowledges God's hand in our lives. Thankfulness. We admit we've had help, and we didn't do it ourselves. Yet it's difficult for many people to say thank you. When thanks is given, it's taken to being indebted. And it's hard for human nature, you know, to feel obliged. God tells Christians, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And that's referenced in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Here is a formula for happiness. The formula for happiness. God expects us to give thanks in everything. God expects us to give thanks in everything. In other words, God expects us to find something good in every situation. God wants us to focus on our blessings and not dwell on our problems. Notice Ephesians 5 and verse 20. Ephesians 5 and verse 20. Ephesians 5 and verse 20 says, "Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." So, do we give thanks in everything? Do we give thanks always for all things? How many take the time to give thanks for the Bible that we have? Where would we be without God's holy words? God's revelation to man is essential knowledge. And God has preserved his word through the ages. In these last days, we're blessed that a Bible can be obtained so easily. There were times when the Bible wasn't even printed. You know, many Bibles are even distributed free. Are we thankful for that? Do we give thanks for our home? Do we give thanks for our home? What about our children? Do we thank God for our children? Our mates? Do we thank God for our mates? Do we give thanks for good health? You know, some might say, I don't have perfect health. Well, have you heard the saying that I complained about flat feet until I saw a man who didn't have feet? Brethren, I see this every day at work. We are blessed. No one today has absolutely perfect health. But in every case, it could be worse. It really could. Do we give thanks for the food that we eat? God's word shows that we should. Jesus did. Christ gave thanks for everything. For everything when he ate. Some people ask, what does God want us to do? Well, God's will is expressed very plainly. Part of that will for Christians is to give thanks. It develops humility. Thanksgiving is important because King David knew this better than most. You know, he appointed, and we can look in 1 Chronicles 16, verse 4. 1 Chronicles 16 and verse 4. He appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the Ark of the Eternal and to record and to thank and praise the Eternal God of Israel. Imagine. Here were men whose duty was to thank and praise God. That was their job. Every morning, thanks was to be given by the Levites. In 1 Chronicles 23, verses 28 through 30, we won't turn there, but we're going to reference 1 Chronicles 23, verses 28 through 30. The duties of the Levites are outlined. They included the purifying of all holy things, work and service to the house of God, and to stand every morning to thank and praise the Eternal. And likewise at evening. Twice a day, thanks was given formally. David knew ingratitude was one of the greatest sins a nation could fall into. He took every precaution to prevent that, including appointing men to offer special thanks to God. God Almighty was not really pleased with some of the sacrifices of the Old Testament. Hearing the word of the Eternal and doing it meant more to God than all the burnt sacrifices, peace offerings, and incense. But one sacrifice is pleasing to God. We see in Psalms 116, verse 17. It says that, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Eternal. And then also in Psalms 50, verse 14. 50 and verse 14, it says, offer unto God thanksgiving. Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay your vows upon the Most High. God is pleased with the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and he commands us to offer that sacrifice. God knows it goes against the grain of human nature to say thanks. Have you ever noticed how many people avoid those two words? Thank you. A sincere thank you shows the basic character and attitude of a man. It shows him to be humble, meek, and thoughtful. You know, every day, God wants us to give thanks to him for our life, for our food, and multitudes of other blessings that he gives us. Not only does God want us to thank him, but also he wants us to thank others also. Members of a family need to practice this. A simple thank you would promote peace, tranquility, and love in a family. And when members are considerate, thoughtful, and observant of the work, service, and the help of others, it encourages and inspires the whole entire family. Great men of God gave thanks. These men were not weaklings or cowards. They were considered real he-men. Daniel gave thanks. We see in Daniel 2 and verse 23. Daniel 2, verse 23. Daniel 2, verse 23. It says, I thank thee and praise you, O thou God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might, and has made known unto me now what we desired of you. And thou hast now made known unto us the king's matters. Daniel just finished receiving the interpretation of the king's dream. No magician or wise man of the kingdom could do it. Did he accept the credit for himself? No. He acknowledged God. He thanked God. He showed God humility, meekness, and faith. Daniel knew the importance of thanksgiving and prayer. You know, a decree was made by Darius, the king, that said, anyone making a petition to any god or man for 30 days other than the king would be cast into the den of lions. Daniel knew what the writing said. Yet, in Daniel 6 and verse 10, Daniel 6 and verse 10, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. Why thanks? Well, men were plotting against him. You know, his life was in danger. Yet in the face of these, Daniel still gave thanks. He was not so concerned about self that he forgot God's goodness. You know, sometimes we do forget. When troubles come or trials come, we forget God's benefits. The immediate response is to protect self, ask for self. But true godly, courageous character will take time. You know, Paul gave thanks. The phrase, I thank my God, appears time and time again in Paul's epistles. Jesus gave thanks. He thanked God for his daily food. He started prayer with thanksgiving. In fact, most prayers recorded in the Bible start with thanksgiving. The Psalms were filled with thanksgiving to God. Time and again, we run across this statement. Oh, give thanks unto the Eternal, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. A lot of our songs have that in it too. In Psalms 136, the Bible tells us to give thanks to God for his wonders. To give thanks to God for his wonders, his works, and miracles. So why aren't people happy? Why aren't people happy? Simply because they're unthankful. They're not thankful. In the United States, a day has been set aside for Thanksgiving. But how many actually give thanks? You know, most people are too busy, too concerned with self to thank God. The day's filled with football games, with drinking, gluttony. Thousands take to the road in a mad scramble to have a good time. The entire day is filled with emphasis on self-gratification. At some time in the 24-hour period, people manage to say grace over a meal. But how many express real heartfelt thanks to the Almighty God? People in different countries have days set aside in the fall for Thanksgiving also. In England, it's the Harvest Home Day. Japan has a Harvest Festival Day. But even if people really give thanks to God on the day their nation sets apart, it'd be a small token of what, you know, we really should do. God commands us to give thanks in everything, every day. And that's God's will. He commands it. It's all right to observe a national custom of thanksgiving. But do it Christ's way. True Christians should be thankful, not only on Thanksgiving or Harvest Day, but each and every day. Each and every day. Of all things Christians have to be thankful for, the most precious is the sacrifice of Christ. Through His blood, we may have forgiveness of sins. And God will overlook, pass over our sins. Jesus Christ has taken our sins on Himself. He's the appeasement for sins sent into the world to take the sins of the whole world on Himself. And those who truly repent of their ways and their thoughts and turn to the living Jesus Christ may have forgiveness through His blood. And what a wonderful sacrifice that is. You know, it's hard to describe, but a look into the Old Testament times can give us some idea. And here's a story from the Old Testament times. Just think about it. You wake up in your house to hear a commotion outside. Quickly, you throw on your clothes. You run out to see what the trouble is. Someone tells you a woman has been caught, taken in the act of adultery. Crowds gather. You run hurriedly along to witness the death penalty. For adultery was punishable immediately by death through stoning. All took part. You knew you had to witness it. You wonder who it is. Perhaps you knew this person. When you hear the shrieks and the screams of a woman. As you draw near to the crest of the hill, a crowd is pressing closely against you. You gaze down and you see the victim. She's being blindfolded and led to the edge of a high platform. As she pleads for mercy, she says, "I'll never do it again," she says. "Please forgive me. It was a moment of weakness. I didn't mean to do it. Please, somebody help me." Well, you knew that there could be no help, for the death penalty must be executed. Nothing could stop the death penalty from being enforced. There was no repentance, no chance to change, no forgiveness of sins under the old covenant. So you stand and watch as the accuser pushes her over the edge and the stoning begins. This was the administration of death. Now, let's wait a second as the scene shifts. We see in John 8 verses 1 through 11, John 8, verses 1 through 11. John 8, verses 1 through 11. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At dawn, He appeared again in the temple courts, where all the people gathered around Him, and He sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law And the Pharisees brought a woman in caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now what do you say?" They were using this question as a trap. In order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "If any one of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away, one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one." Notice these next words. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Neither do I condemn you. Go now and leave your life of sin." Go now and leave your life of sin. Those words, "Neither do I condemn thee." Money can't buy them. Works can't earn them. They can't be borrowed. They can't be stolen. They're a manifestation of God's grace. The righteous one, without sin, who could cast the first stone, offers his life to pay for our sins. These words of forgiveness have come to us when we needed them the most. We, like that woman, were condemned to death, to eternal death through sin. And we all know that the wages of sin is death. Brethren, God spared our lives through His Son, Jesus Christ. So if we were strapped to a tree, facing an angry crowd with rocks in their hands, God's grace would mean so much more. Other things wouldn't mean so much. Everything else would take second place. We would give thanks to God for His grace. We would literally give thanks for all things, always. So, brethren, as we begin preparing for Thanksgiving Day, let's not forget to give thanks for all things as God has commanded. Not just on Thanksgiving Day, but every day. We must give thanks every day for everything, because our lives depend on it.